Once the scripture gets up on the wall, everyone will stand and honor the Holy Scripture. It's Exodus chapter 18, verses 19 through 23. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give you counsel, and God shall be with you. Represent the people before God, that you may bring the causes unto God. Then teach them the statutes and the laws, and make known to them the way in which they are to walk and the work they are to do. Furthermore, you shall select out of all the people able men who fear God, men of truth, those who hate dishonest gain. And you shall place these over them as leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. Let them judge the people at all times. It shall be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they shall judge themselves. So shall it be easier for you, and they shall share the load with you. If you do this, and God so directs you, you will be able to endure, and also all these people will be able to go home in peace. You may be seated.
Well, good morning. The title of today's sermon is Harvey Reichstag. This is not a sermon about a person named Harvey Reichstag, but rather the conjunction of the worst ever U.S. natural disaster, according to AccuWeather.com, and the worst ever political arson fire. The recent hurricane in Texas and the German parliament building set ablaze have a common denominator. In 2011, I wrote a sermon called Katrina, You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet. 6 years later, we're seeing something. We're seeing a storm of devastation nearing 40 inches of rain and $200 billion in damage. In fact, we are seeing a slew of hurricanes. Both the hurricanes and arson are not what they appear to be. Both exploitations are born of political expediency for propaganda purposes. Both have an impact on national security. Both have a calculated future because of the evil inherent from the events. Both have an inevitable clash between Christianity and Jewish communism. Both foment extraordinary extremism. Both have biblical implications. Now, that may not be specific enough yet to draw some corollaries, so please allow me to explain if you can handle the truth. And I know all the people here today can. And I say that because most people have been programmed to automatically close their minds to anything having to do with race, God, and government. The latter two falsely euphemized as church and state. But the walls of our mind were meant to be overcome. The truth shall make you free from the barriers of disinformation. Let me digress and give you a clue. It's the ancient conflict between Jacob Israel and Esau Edom. More succinctly, between white Christians and mongrel Jews and all of the ramifications that emanate from each. From a Christian identity perspective, there has never been a so-called single seed line based on Genesis 3:15. And nobody would be so foolish to espouse such a universal condition in our camp. However, there's only one seed line that matters to God, the racially pure white race. You only have I known of all the families of the earth, says Amos 3:2. All other seed lines are a multitude of corrupted, mongrelized aliens and categorically impossible to classify. And I love that background noise. You know, in some churches, they'll tell crying children, can't you control your kids or something like that. To me, it's music to my ears. It's the future of our race. God bless you, little girl. Cry to your heart's content. I just hope it's not over my sermon. Maybe it's the message that's a downer. If we are to amplify or simplify matters and just say it's two seed lines, then it is a generalization of us and them. And the enemies of God, the non-white stranger, the great defender of all these people groups, despise what they are, the embodiment of genetic, cultural, and ethnic differences. This schizophrenic mindset motivates them in their quest for complete homogenization in a new world order in which identity of seed lines no longer exist. Therefore, we are the last bulwark to preserve our own kind, Adam kind. Our people have been brainwashed to believe that God loves everybody. This is a lie. God said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. The Lord hates Esau because he corrupted his seed line. And his descendants today are the Jews of red communism. Edom means red. Israel means he will rule as God. Now, Jews do not rule as God because they are Antichrist. Must I make it crystal clear? Antichrist are not God. In today's climate of philosophical hypocrisy and a rut of amoral idolatry, the only standard for existential stability is the integrity of the unmolested principles of God. But even the Bible has been under attack for a long time. Regardless of all the heresies and doctrines of devils, God put these moral directives in our heart and minds, the New Covenant, to help us discern the spirit or motivation of things. One of the greatest demonizations of a nation rising up against the decay and subversion of their own nation was the implementation of Christian values when confronted by the purveyors of demonic politics. To do anything less would have been surrender and a certain national suicide. Imagine, if you will, the arson of our own Capitol building in Washington, D.C., being gutted by fire. That would be as much a paradigm as 9/11, especially if the Congress critters were toasted to a crisp. There's even a new TV show called Designated Survivor, starring Kiefer Sutherland. The plot is on the night of the State of the Union address before Congress, in which an explosion kills the president and everyone in the line of succession except for the Secretary of HUD, which is played by Kiefer. Perhaps in real life, Congress deserves divine judgment after so many years of treason against those they represent. Most Americans today don't have a clue about the conditions leading up to the election of Adolf Hitler in 1933. After World War I, the Americans, or should I say the Jews who had wormed their way into spheres of influence within the corporation called the United States government, in contradistinction to our founders, United States of America, imposed reparations upon Germany that resulted in massive unemployment and the inability to feed its people. The Jews are financial wizards in destroying the economies of nations. The Jews wrestled control of our money system in 1913 with the Federal Reserve, which is neither federal nor in retention of any reserves. And now they are doing it to us. You'll see what I mean by it shortly. We know about the Jewish Morgenthau Plan after World War II to intentionally starve to death 10 million Germans. And you know what? At least 9.3 million Germans died needlessly after the war. The Allies did not end the killing at the end of the war, but increased it. More German civilians died in 5 years of peace than soldiers in 6 years of war. But the warm-up for a future genocide was after World War I. And in addition to the draconian spoils of war via the Treaty of Versailles, a British blockade caused the deaths of hundreds of thousands of Germans through starvation. Keep in mind, this was before World War II. Keep in mind also that starvation is a Jewish policy for world dominion as stated in Protocol 3, quote, "Our power lies in the chronic malnutrition and in the weakness of the worker because through this he falls under our power and is unable to find either strength or energy to counteract it," end quote. Now, this has been somewhat modified in recent decades with food, especially junk and fast food, inflicting poisons into our bodies, causing disease and a slow death of toxicity. But only puts death on a... This is compounded by the Jewish-controlled Big Pharma to treat diseases, but only puts death on the fast track. Obamacare and whatever they're trying to replace it with has nothing to do with health or caring about life. The turmoil and angst of the German people between the end of World War I and 1933 was a nightmare of Jewish communism spoiling all of Europe. Germany had been stripped of its industry, mining, and manufacturing. The Allies decided to confiscate all German livestock, cattle and dairy cows, horses, sheep, goats, etc. This begged the question, who would or could save Germany? The Jews had 100 years to accumulate ill-begotten wealth, form a merciless ideology, and refine their propaganda machine for the big lie. In the 1800s, Waterloo, the House of Rothschild, Karl Marx, and the protocols all preceded the revolution being leveled against Germany. National Socialists were well aware of the barbarian slaughter of white Christian Russians during the Bolshevik Revolution of 1917, while Germany was preoccupied in a world war from 1914 to 1918. The royal family of Russia, the Romanovs, were murdered in cold blood, including children, as Jewish communists stole all of the nation's treasury. The Jews were at war with Europe and America at the same time, exercising a fierce juggernaut of manipulating money supplies through usury and debt and investing in the type of street violence that we're beginning to see today on the streets of America. It's the same old tactics of Jewish communism to eliminate Christianity. In 1919, a Senate investigation called the Overman Committee heard testimony from eyewitnesses to the Bolshevik slaughter in Russia. Back then, news was reported, and reports of rampant rape and pillage of white Christians were getting out. The Jews connected Judaism with a universal revolution which had no foundation in either the Old or New Testaments of the Bible. More explicitly, the program of violence is defined by the Red Gazette in a 1918 issue stating, quote, "The interest of the revolution require the physical annihilation of the bourgeois or the middle class. It is time for us to start. We will turn our hearts into steel, which we will temper in the fire of suffering and the blood of fighters for freedom. We will make our hearts cruel, hard, and immovable, so that no mercy will enter them, and so that they will not quiver at the sight of a sea of enemy blood. We will let loose the floodgates of that sea without mercy, without sparing. We will kill our enemies in scores of hundreds. Let them be thousands. Let them drown themselves in their own blood." End quote. The American consul general at Moscow, to assure the West that the Jews were not boasting, issued a report that was published in 1919 to the effect that, quote, "Since May, the so-called Extraordinary Commission to Combat Counter-Revolution has conducted an openly avowed campaign of terror. Thousands of persons have been summarily shot without even the form of a trial. Many of them have no doubt been innocent of even the political views which were supposed to supply the motives of their execution. The situation cries aloud to all who will act for the sake of humanity." End quote. By comparison, white Christians have always shown a modicum of mercy, knowing and believing that our Lord hath said, "Vengeance is mine." The Jew communist leader, Leon Trotsky, tried to justify their pogroms of mass terror by stating, quote, "Terror, as the demonstration of the will and strength of the working class, is historically justified, precisely because the proletariat, or the working class, was able thereby to break the political will of the intelligentsia, pacify the professional men of various categories, and work and gradually subordinate them to its own aims within the fields of their specialties," end quote. And they did it without TV, the NFL, or beer. We likewise have been anesthetized to the monopoly of the two-party system and intellectual prostitutes. Germans were not so easily persuaded that they should surrender their lives and property to a classless society run by Antichrist Jews. That's because Germans have always been uniquely gifted by God for being inventive and industrious and culturally strong as a Christian people. The Jews were well aware of these traits, and thus the struggle for the reins of power and what sort of spirit would prevail over Germany. The Jews are devils and do things that most white Christians cannot fathom anyone doing because the acts are so depraved. In a memorandum on certain aspects of the Bolshevik movement in Russia compiled by the U.S. State Department in 1919, it actually states, quote, "The Bolsheviks are devils." I hope to send you copies of 64 official photos taken by British officers at Odessa when the town was retaken from the Bolsheviks. As no paper will print them, I suggest that you should have copies done. And I suggest that you should then do with them as you think fit to make them most widely known. Their horror may make people realize. They must realize. By God, they shall realize. They show men who have been crucified with the torture of the human glove. The victim gets crucified, nails through his elbows. The hands are treated with a solution which shrivels the skin. The skin is cut out with a razor round the wrist and peeled off till it hangs by the fingernails. The human glove. I'm not sparing you. I hope you'll show and send them the photos to everybody we know. People at home, apathetic fools they are, do not deserve to be spared. They must be woken up. Most of the photos are of women, women with their breasts cut off to the bone. Newspapers are no good because papers would put it more delicately. They arrest any girl they fancy for the use of their soldiery. 62 girls of all classes were arrested like this and thrown to the Bolshevist troops. Those who struggled were killed quite early on. The rest, when used and finished, were mutilated and thrown, dead and dying, into the two small rivers. In all towns occupied by Bolsheviks, and reoccupied slaughterhouses are found choked with corpses. Hundreds of suspects, men, women, and children, were herded into these, doors and windows manned, and the struggling mass fired into until most of them were dead or dying. The doors were then locked, and they were left. The stench in these places, I am told, is hair-raising. These slaughterhouses are veritable plague spots and have caused widespread epidemics, end quote. You know, I hate to talk about such gory things like this, but how else can we convey to our sleeping people out there what the Jew has done? In the same memo, it refers to the Jewish plans to extend their power into Africa and Asia. Well, Germans were not preoccupied with bread and circuses to distract them from this awful horror that was not that far away geographically. Today, Americans don't seem to be too concerned about aliens flooding into our country that have no regard for our heritage or laws and have a natural antipathy towards white people and a greater disdain for Christianity. Understandably so, with the Judaization of the church being obvious to even strangers. All Joe Sixpack needs is a steady supply for his carnal addictions. It wasn't until years later that distinguished writers such as Pulitzer Award-winning author Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who was imprisoned in the Soviet gulags, would divulge that it was tens of millions who perished under the Red Terror. In fact, this is what he said, quote, "Without Jews, there never would have been Bolshevism. For a Jew, nothing is more insulting than the truth. The bloodthirsty Jewish terrorists have murdered 66 million in Russia from 1918 to 1957, end quote, from this respected hero. We can ascertain that the Bolsheviks, socialists, communists, Jews had the same agenda in Germany leading up to the Reichstag fire. The Soviet experiment was never meant to be localized, but to spread worldwide, and Germany was their next prize, or so they thought. The Bolsheviks were made up of the very worst criminal elements, and most of them in the first Soviet legislature were not Russians at all, but Jews from the east side of New York City. The Jews thought they could bring their cruelties and bloodlust in a similar fashion to Germany. But Germany was not Russia. It was the home of the Protestant Reformation. August Beebe, one of the founders of the German Socialist Party, said, quote, "Christianity and socialism stand towards each other as fire and water," end quote, meaning they were exact opposites, much in the same way as the emerging violent-prone socialist in this country and conservative Christians who never learned their history very well. It has gotten to the level of D. James Kennedy Ministries bringing a lawsuit against the socialist-leaning Southern Poverty Law Center for labeling their ministry as the number one hate group in Florida. Even though Marx said religion was the opiate of the people, that was just a smokescreen to diffuse their real objective in destroying the Christian church. The laws of God still resonate with the people of God. Germany would fight. The Florida ministry will fight. And Christian identity will fight and win. In 1933, a violent election campaign unfolded in Germany. The economy was in shambles, with the proverbial wheelbarrow full of cash to buy a single loaf of bread. Crime and violence wasn't the only moral proclivity. The arts and theater reached new levels of the obscene, which only the Jew was more than happy to provide with impunity. The culture war would lead to a world war because the Jew refused to assimilate into German society and tried to Judaize the indigenous inhabitants of the land with various avenues of corruption on many fronts. Hindenburg appointed Hitler as chancellor in January. The Reichstag, or parliament, was suspended several times, and authority came by presidential decree. Just before the election, January 24th, the police raided Communist Party headquarters and found documents for a planned revolution. And then, on the night of February 27th, the Reichstag building burned. An election was set for March 5th, and the National Socialist won without the vote scam that has become so commonplace in American elections. They garnered over 17 million votes, 43%, among 13 other political parties. The Communist Party got about 4 million votes, or 12%. Germany, in essence, said, "We shall serve our Lord and Savior." From the Barnes Review of January 1996, we read about the fire. Quote, "Hitler immediately blamed the communists. Hindenburg proclaimed a state of emergency and issued decrees suspending freedom of speech and assembly. Thanks to the Red Scare, the National Socialists and their allies, the German Nationalists, won a bare majority in the general election of March 5th. Shortly thereafter, first the Communist Party and then all other parties except National Socialists were made illegal. The burning of the Reichstag was the spark that set the country ablaze. If then the fire was what catapulted Hitler to power, is it not reasonable to assume that the National Socialist had a hand in it? That was the consensus of the propaganda in the United States, France, and Great Britain. It wasn't true, but it served its purpose for the sake of propaganda. At the trial of the lone arson, the prosecution failed to prove that it was a communist conspiracy. Although the arsonist, Marinus van der Lubbe, was a Dutch communist and a Jew. To the spoils of war goes the writing of history, and after World War II, most historians thought the Germans did it without ever looking at the evidence. It wasn't until a retired civil servant and anti-Nazi, Fritz Tobias, did look into it to prove once and for all that Hitler was behind the torching of the Reichstag. To make a long story short, it was neither the communist or the National Socialist, but one man, van der Lubbe. Tobias could only conclude that van der Lubbe was guilty beyond question, admitting that he was the sole perpetrator. Now, what we should learn from this lesson of history is that even though the nemesis, such as the communist, having a record of deposing the Russian government in a bloody coup, should not be given a free pass for their aspiration to do the same thing in Germany. As it was, Hitler's SA, the street fighters, and World War I veterans were stronger than the communist paramilitary. The communists were only brave in numbers and planned riots designed for specific provocations. Their repetitious battle cry was a final armed conflict with capitalists. Verbal posturing was a common propaganda tool, casting the giant shadow of mental midgets, often feeding their own rank and file with bravado. The same kind of violent rhetoric against the state could not be attributed to the National Socialist, as they were instead making inroads with the middle class and an increasingly burgeoning student movement. It would be comparable to patriotic American movements such as the Tea Party and America First coalitions. One can observe the disparity of these political movements as those having a revulsion towards the decadence of the Weimar, and those who hyped and celebrated immoralities. The German nationalists had a very real apprehension about anti-Christian and anti-German revolutionaries turning their nation into a cesspool. The same kind of sides are being drawn on the American landscape today. The level of violence perpetrated by the communists in the first few months of Hitler's government after burning the Reichstag gave a very clear warning that the communist takeover was a very real possibility. The communist pattern is repeating itself today, making every effort to dissolve the government of Donald Trump. Although this time it is pure Marxist dialectics with both sides on the same side for the same synthesis. Anyone who does not think like Antifa is a heretic and doesn't belong in their communist utopia. Jews are not innovative because they are not inspired of God. They simply fulfill Matthew 11:12. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Their only playbooks are the works of Antichrist, the Babylonian Talmud, Das Kapital, the Protocols, and Jew Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. Our rule book is the Holy Bible. Scripture gives us the vision to see through all of these conspiracies. For where there is no vision, the people perish. Well, picture, if you will, the U.S. Capitol building engulfed in flames, and all the networks are covering it. Within half an hour, breaking news, they know who did it. It was one of those Christian identity white supremacists. They announced that the White House has blown up, but that really doesn't happen until 15 minutes later. Thousands of people are arrested in the next few days who aren't even Christians. What's left of Congress introduces 2,000 pages of draconian legislation that they just happened to whip up overnight. Suspending the Constitution, mandating inoculations with microchips, and martial law with military personnel who don't seem to speak English. They pull the plug on the internet and all forms of communication. All transportation comes to a halt. There is only one channel on TV, and it's the government. Wolf Blitzer makes public service announcements that all people must now worship Lucifer or will be summarily executed. Now, how's that for a vision? Germans knew if they did not stop Jewish communism, they would no longer have a German nation. If we do not stop Jewish communism, we will no longer have a white Christian America, or what's left of it. When the German people put Hitler into power, they were essentially asking for the dissolution of a parliamentary democracy, which would legislate the German identity out of existence, much like what Angela Merkel has already done today. We have a similar provision in our Declaration of Independence, in which the people have the right to alter or abolish any form of government that becomes destructive of certain unalienable rights and institute a new government. It also meant that National Socialism had nothing to do with socialism, but rather a social environment that was only conducive to and synonymous with Christianity. The socialists, then and now, are still communist at heart, and thus enemies of freedom and liberty. Even Nancy Pelosi was subjected to leftist hecklers just last week. To submit to the law of the unrighteous is to cease defending the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. A ruler is not a terror to the good, but to the evil. That was the only way Germany could purge the evil of Jewish communism. Let us understand perfectly that before any official reprisals or government sanctions against Jews were carried out, a combination of the most powerful international Jewish institutions of finance had declared war on Germany with an economic boycott on March 24th, 1933, as Germany was on the brink of famine, communist terrorism threatening a coup d'etat, and the rest of Europe suffering attacks as well. The Jews fired the first shot of what would become World War II, anti-Jewish sentiments were nothing new, as historians will attest. For hundreds of years, the Jews were purged and banned from one country after another because of the pernicious nature of Jewry. The Jewish newspaper Nash Aresh wrote, quote, "The war against Germany will ideologically enliven and promote our interest, which require that Germany be wholly destroyed. It must be rendered harmless for all time." The Jewish revolution from within was now compounded by revolutionaries outside of Germany, mainly America and Great Britain. And who spearheaded the American juggernaut? None other than Jewish attorney Samuel Untermyer, who bankrolled the Judaized Schofield Bastard Bible. Contrary to popular myth, Jews were relatively free, with some restrictions from 1933 to 1939. There were no rounding up of Jews and sending them off to so-called concentration camps. There were some eruptions of violence, but they were not officially sanctioned by Hitler. In 1939, the partisan warfare became so intolerable that Jews who posed a threat to national security were finally arrested and removed from German society. But at the end of the war in 1945, there were still Jewish names in the Berlin telephone directory. It goes without saying that the Holocaust was a hoax. Much of what people believe about this era are lies. Whether one likes it or not, Hitler was not a dictator. He was given the authority by the people, because they loved him, and he loved his nation. I wish I could say the same for America today, but it is all theater, smoke, and mirrors. Democracy, or rule of the mob worshiping golden calves, is the enemy of Christian leadership and governance. For those who will never comprehend the Jewish stranglehold on white Christian nations because they are ignorant of the evils of democracy and the virtues of biblical principles, let me capture the principle for you from Mein Kampf itself and today's scripture reading. Quote, "The nature and internal organization of the new movement make it anti-parliamentarian. That is to say, it rejects in general and in its own structure all those principles according to which decisions are to be taken on the vote of the majority, and according to which the leader is only the executor of the will and opinion of others. The movement lays down the principle that in the smallest as well as the greatest problems, one person must have absolute authority and bear all responsibility. The president of a large group is appointed by the head of the group immediately above his in authority. He is then responsible, a leader of his group. All the communities are subject to his authority and not he to theirs. There's no such thing as committees that vote, but only committees that work. This work is allotted by the responsible leader, who is the president of the group. Only the leader of the whole party is elected at the general meeting of the members, but he is the sole leader of the movement. All the committees are responsible to him, but he is not responsible to the committees. His decision is final, but he bears the whole responsibility of it. The members of the movement are entitled to call him to account by means of a new election, or to remove him from office if he has violated the principles of the movement or has not served its interest adequately. He then is replaced by a more capable man who is invested with the same authority and obliged to bear the same responsibility, end quote. Israel had many deliverers who saved their people from adversaries and adversity, but it could only succeed if the leader was a man of God. Hitler was such a man who gave us a model to evaluate his success and failures. National Socialism was as close as one can get to duplicating a Christian chain of command found in Exodus 18, our scripture reading for today. The political climate made it virtually impossible to implement, and yet Hitler overcame the impediments as best he could. What happened from 1933 to 1939 was one of the most miraculous recoveries in history, and the Jew did not like that one bit. The Bible says we are kings and priests, which should make our nation a theocratic monarchy, not a democracy. I can assure you that the kingdom of God will not be democratic, in which a majority vote could overrule Christ. Such a thought is absurd. From its inception in 1920, the National Socialist Party platform was unequivocally and exclusively Christian, which America was also at one time. Point 24 of their party platform remained unchanged right up to the end of World War II and read, quote, "We demand freedom for all religious faiths in the state insofar as they do not endanger its existence or offend the moral and ethical sense of the Germanic race." The party as such represents the point of view of a positive Christianity without binding itself to any one particular confession. It fights against the Jewish materialist spirit within and without, and is convinced that a lasting recovery of our folk can only come about from within on the principle, the common good before the good of the individual. That last part is biblical, because if morality comes from self, then Jesus died for no purpose. The Jews reinvented the law of God and declared themselves righteous by following their own revisions to the letter of the law, not the spirit of the law, which they abandoned. In the wake of Charlottesville, which I talked about in my last two sermons, I quoted Trump in part two, making a peculiar statement that I can now understand to be part of the dialectical synthesis, or what they want out of all these hurricanes. He said, "We all must be united and condemn all that hate stands for. There is no place for this kind of violence in America. Let's come together as one," end quote. Well, it's no coincidence that this soundbite came into play during Hurricane Harvey, with the media mantra of America working together. They want a country so homogenized with ideas that all individuals will be tolerant of other value systems, other gods. The ambiguity is that all Americans can't be united if some Americans hate the evil of non-Christian religions. It's an oxymoron for Jewish morons like Trump. To amplify his hypocrisy, on September 14th, Trump signed a resolution condemning white supremacists, neo-Nazis, the KKK, and other hate groups, whatever that means. Trump said, and is what a race traitor would say, quote, "No matter the color of our skin or ethnic heritage, we all live under the same laws." I comment on his comments in brackets in our text today, which you can see. And what he just said there is not true, because hate crimes are only applied to whites. He goes on and says, "And we are all made by the same Almighty God." Well, of course, that's not true, because God did not create mongrels. We are a nation founded on the truth that all of us are created equal. Well, that's not true either. Our founders were only talking about white people and their posterity. As one people, this is Trump, as one people, let us move forward to rediscover the bonds of love and loyalty that brings us together as Americans. Not true again. There is nothing to rediscover if it's not there to begin with. Who knows what he's talking about? Well, that was the end of his quote, if that is more than enough. The solidarity that Trump and his Babylonian handlers want is the love and loyalty that Hitler got from the German people. Except now, it's simply being a subservient slave to Jewish communism, a new world order where all races and religions are one. How would the Jew perform such a miracle of human alchemy? Well, there's a lot of things we know about how they do it because we've seen a lot of what they've done. We know there's madmen who want to control you and the world. We've even got a Secretary of Defense named Mad Dog. In 1997, Secretary of Defense Jew William Cohen revealed, quote, "Others are engaged even in an eco-type of terrorism whereby they can alter the climate, set off earthquakes, volcanoes remotely through the use of electromagnetic waves. So there are plenty of ingenious minds out there that are at work finding ways in which they can wreak terror upon other nations," end quote. What he doesn't tell you about others is other Jews who can be identified as having in their possession these weather weapons. Geoengineered weather is not a hypothesis. We can see chemtrails in the sky and measure the effects of HARP, High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program. And this technology was developed and owned by the U.S. government until they sold it to the Israelis. It can be shown through photographic observations that these weather patterns and behavior do not exist in nature. Texas was hit hard in May of 2015 with torrential rains and flooding, and now Hurricane Harvey in August 2017. Starting the most unusual hurricane season ever in U.S. history. Why, you may be wondering? Because Babylon is coming to a close, just as the Babylonian devils were coming to a close in Germany in 1933. Why Texas? Texans have been opposed to the encroaching liberalism that would take away their guns. Obamacare that would impose socialized medicine. Illegal immigration that has Mexicanized their state. and the long war against drugs crossing their border, and the sodomite agenda to pervert their churches. And let's not forget their very active secessionist movement. After Katrina, there was a massive relocation of some 250,000 New Orleans Negroes to Houston. With this change in demographics, Houston elected its first lesbian mayor, who was vehemently anti-Christian, who has since been voted out of office. It was a great hurricane for Negro looters and burglaries. If you were an evil member of the world shadow government, and you had these weather weapons at your disposal, and some trouble spots that weren't complying fast enough to your agenda of a sanctuary city or sanctuary state for non-whites, non-white aliens, gay marriages, pedophile parades, mandatory vaccinations, and a host of other abominations, wouldn't you drench them in 40 inches of rain and 120 miles per hour winds? You would if you were evil. It is irresponsible to say that there aren't such evil cowards in the world today who would do exactly that. While Harvey was going full blast, we heard almost nothing about the wildfires out west, which were causing just as much misery and devastation. In another article, I laid out the proof that the Japanese tsunami in 2011 was manufactured by Jews using Stuxnet, HAARP, and chemtrail technologies. And Mexico City, receiving 8.1, 7.1, and 6.1 earthquakes within a couple of weeks of each other, killing over 300. Following close behind Harvey is Irma, Jose, Katia, Lee, which comes way too close to Robert E. Lee and must be racist, and Maria. And North Korea, just last week, gets an earthquake too. Oh, did I mention that yesterday, September 23rd, was the end of the world again? More rapture, false prophets. Yes, the Jews were behind that rapture prophecy for the umpteenth time. You know, when old Jerusalem is going to get nuked, the rapture can finally rest at peace. As for me and my house, I want to be left behind. The kingdom of God is on earth. And we should know by now the warning, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. It's not going to be in outer space. It's not Star Wars. With the election of Trump, how do these Jewish psychopaths plan on staying in power? They will use their best actor, Jew Donald Trump, for the Pied Piper of over-the-top Jewish persecution. You know the drill. Anti-Semitism, Holocaust, Hollywood liberals, neo-Nazis, ad nauseum. You'll be made to feel that life is a perpetual fetal position and that you're not really white. Race traitors will continue to cover up and stonewall the most massive treason in history. Eventually, people will wake up to the fact that our weather is not our own and is being manipulated by the most evil characters in history, Esau, Edom. And this is why God hates them and says they will all be destroyed. However, the sooner we figure out there is something we can do, the part about Jesus telling us to repent, the sooner the whacked out weather will cease and desist. The Reichstag fire was the spark ignited by one Jew for a world war. What the Jews learned from this is that if they had 100 of Vanderlubes, they could eventually cause havoc around the world with unconventional weapons that nobody would suspect, and subsequently rule the entire world in a kingdom of Jews. They become so proficient and sophisticated in their deception that a new phrase calls it a false flag operation. Now, the term originates with pirates disguising their ships with false flags in order to get close enough to fire upon another ship. JFK and 9/11 are probably their biggest trophies after World War II. But now they are aiming their sights on the non-compliant, those who stand in their way for the big prize, with secret and hidden from view weapons of mass destruction. The Christian identity message is imperative to change that, and the prize will be ours. The Jewish church age is coming to a close. Judeo-Christianity, having preached the gospel of universal salvation, but not the true gospel of the kingdom. If you have eyes to see, you can see the transition. We know the next and last of the ages is the kingdom age. It's easy to see the fake news, so count it all joy. No matter how much evil they throw at us, all things work together for good. The only bad news is for the Jews and all of the lackeys and dupes who identify with the last prophetic Babylon that is showing signs of falling. If they have to manipulate the weather and play God, they are terribly desperate. And when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. More bad weather, more moaning and groaning. While Judeo-Christians only have a single fake Antichrist and a great 7-year tribulation, we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico September 20th, a mongrelized island and territory of the United States. I mentioned earlier the corporate United States government. Whenever you see all capital letters, that's it. As well as many others like the IRS, all privately owned and impersonating our original founding in 1776. Are registered in Puerto Rico. They can't be registered on U.S. soil because it has nothing to do with the original United States. By the same token, churches that incorporate 501c3s are creations of the state, not of God. The good news is that the United States government was smashed to its core where it was created and headquartered, a mongrel country which has been bankrupt for some time. We count this as an answer to our long-time prayers that our nation be restored to its proper God-given foundations and that the serpent be slayed. The merchants of these things, who become rich from her, will stand at a distance because of the fear of her torment, weeping, and mourning. Revelation 18:15. You know, most of churchianity thinks Babylon, this mystery Babylon, is yet future? Because they don't have the eyes to see that which is secret and hidden, as I've described it today. Mystery Babylon was hatched in 1913 with the Federal Reserve, and it's now a rotten egg. Their loss, our gain. Our brethren seldom know what they're talking about because they are blind to their own reality. Our German brethren in 1933 knew what they were doing because they had the eyes to see the Jew. May we learn from history. God is still in charge of the weather. Amen? Thank you.